advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was going to bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth!
Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Blood!
King of Crash!
The Colossus of Clout!
The Colossus of Clout!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and Erica Strowski, our producer. We're on every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. You can give us a call at 312-332-3776. We have a nice prize package this week for the holiday weekend. Last week's winner didn't contact us about getting the prize, so we've got a two prize package. A box of 2016 Top Stadium Club Baseball and a pack of Historic Autographs Friends and Foes Baseball as the prize package. So if you give us a call, 312-332-3776 with a question about the value of an item, you'll get in the drawing, and Vince will do the drawing at the end of the show, and ERC Delivery will deliver it right to your door. That Historic Autographs Friends and Foes product, I got an email yesterday from Bill from Naperville with a question about that product. He pulled a dual cut autograph of George Brett and Ken Brett from Historic Autographs Friends and Foes. According to Historic Autographs, they say they only made three of these. What kind of value would you put on that dual cut? He hasn't found any autographed combos of the Brett brothers. Well, I'm thinking it's probably at least 100. I'd probably figure maybe 150 to 200. And here's an interesting question for you guys. What, just recently, the past week or so, Ken Brett, who passed away in 2003 at the age of 55, why was Ken Brett brought up in the news recently? What happened in baseball that made people think back to Ken Brett? Do you have any idea? Either Vince, Bill, or Eric, anybody have an idea what it was?
Something to do with batting for himself or something, I heard.
Yes.
Like DHing for himself or something
yes.
like that?
Yeah. And the reason that got brought up, Madison Bumgarner was in a game where there should have been a DH, and he batted. Instead, they didn't have a DH. They let Madison Bumgarner bat.
Okay.
And he was the first guy to do that since Ken Brett. In 1976 when he was with the White Sox. I remember him being a good hitting pitcher. I looked it up. His career, he was a decent pitcher, you know, like a 3.7 career average, a 500 pitcher. But I read one article where Tommy Lasorda said if they had drafted Ken Brett, they'd have put him in center field and left him there, and he would have been a really good hitter. He had 1 year in 1974 for the Pirates. He hit .310. Wow. Listen to his lifetime batting statistics. Let's see, where do I have these things? Youngest pitcher to pitch in a World Series. That was kind of interesting. In 1967, he had an inning and a third. Scoreless innings pitched. In his career, he had 18 doubles, 1 triple, 10 homers, 44 RBIs in 347 at bats, like a .262 batting average, a .406 slugging average as a pitcher. I bet he could have been a really good hitter. But that's kind of neat, that combo with George Brett.
Absolutely.
That's one of those things in that Historic Autographs that you just don't see those. I think that's a neat card. Yep. I for sure wouldn't want to sell that for less than $100. I really think 150 to 200 because, you know, George Brett's one of the all-time great Hall of Famers, too.
It also says how good a hitter Bumgarner is. Yeah, because you know, he hit the
really
ball.
Is just a good hitter. Athlete.
Yep.
I wonder, did they ever make a decision if he's going to be in the home run derby for the All-Star game?
They yeah. did, and actually the players union is the one that had a problem with it and said that he can't do it.
Okay. Really? Are they worried about injury, or they just don't?
Other players were upset that they he might be taking a spot of a player's position.
Okay, I even saw one thing where they were saying they might have just a pitchers only home run derby because Arrieta wanted to be in it.
Sure.
Too?
Yep.
Arrieta's got to concentrate on pitching right now.
Yeah, I wanted they had pitched an idea where like one pitcher would do the first round, and if they advance in the first round, then another pitcher would do the second round, and that'd be cool, like a pitcher team.
That would be kind of fun
really
to watch.
Cool.
Actually,
they just mixed it.
Like, there's some good athletes. Isn't Kershaw's a good hitter? I think that would have actually. I don't watch the home run derby. That would have been kind of fun to watch.
But you would have watched it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I would have watched.
So what a great idea!
Thing.
Put Bumgarner in, but let's not do it because we don't want to have more people watching.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't quite get it. No. But I will go back to Arrieta. He's had 7 starts this year with less than 6 innings pitched, where he's had at least 90 pitches in those, where like he'll pitch 5 innings and have over 90 pitches. It's weird with the command. I don't know if the hitters have figured out a way to attack him differently or what, but he's getting a ton of 3-2 counts, and
He's off.
He's putting a lot of pressure on their bullpen that wasn't there before. After that tremendous start in April, his first 5-inning pitch game was at the end of April, and nobody gave it a second thought. It's like, oh, well, you know, it still wasn't a bad outing. But now having 7 of those, that's a lot of innings where you've got your ace putting a lot of innings onto the shoulders of the bullpen.
No, better now than in September, but hopefully he won't just completely wear out by September.
Yeah, if they have to miss a start with them, do it. Because right now, I mean, even though their record hasn't been that good, they still have nobody else in their division has taken over. Like, if they were in with the Indians just won 14 in a row, it'd be like, whoa, there'd be a little bit of what's going on here. But that's not there. Now, we have to remember the Huggins and Scott August auction. Bidding begins August 1st, and there's a ton of great stuff on the Huggins and Scott website, HugginsandScott.com. This is a neat set. I don't think I've seen you guys with this set before. A 1939 Play Ball complete 161-card set. It's got a DiMaggio-graded SGC4. The Ted Williams rookie card is in 1939 Play Ball. That's graded SGC 5.5. That's a nice card. And an SGC 6, our guy Mo Berg, who's going to be the movies about coming out. Who was it? Do you remember who I said was going to be the star of that movie? It was a surprising guy. We'll have to look that up again. Where I did a quiz on it, and I don't remember who it was. He was part-time in Friends for a while. I can't think of the guy's name. We'll get to that later anyway. And Matt from the North Side's on the line. What do you have there, Matt?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. So got a Blackhawks autographed program from 92.
92, that was the Roenick year with Roenick and Chelios and Belfour and those guys, huh?
Yeah, so on the program, it's Roenick. I got Roenick, Chelios, Murray, Belfort, Hasek. I'm trying to think of the other ones. I'm driving here, so it's a little...
Okay.
I haven't looked at it in a while, but the kicker is John Candy was at the game and was able to get his autograph.
Oh,
now
that's actually kind of... That actually is good. I know he was a hockey fan, so that's actually... Because that Blackhawk team was good, and there's some good names, but not huge value. John Candy, Bill Huggins, I don't know if you like that, not being in Chicago, being on with the Blackhawks, but do you know how tough a signature John Candy is? I mean, he died at a young age. Have you run any of his stuff?
Gosh, you know, I don't know that we have, Tom.
Yeah, I think that helps that item a lot.
Sure. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Now, do you think that would be a good enough thing that you'd want to try that in a Huggins and Scott auction because he's on there, or you think that's more just a Chicago area store to have that?
Well, it could be A and or B, you know.
Yeah.
It just depends. That we have a lot of items in our auction that kind of fall into that category. You just don't know because you've never run them. And a lot of times we'll just put an opening bid of, you know, like $100
yeah.
or something. And we've had opening bids of 100 go for $5,000 to $10,000.
Wow.
You know, wow. Because you just don't know, you know.
Hold on your hat there, Matt. I don't know that he's talking about your item.
You never know, though. You get two bidders on it. You get two bidders who want something.
You never know.
You've seen it before.
I do think that the John Candy signature does help that a ton.
Right.
Yeah, very neat. So happy 4th of July holiday to you. You could just dream about the money that might go for. Now, if you decide to run that in a Huggins and Scott auction, if it has to be authenticated, it'd be too late to get it into August, but you could get it into their October auction.
Right. Cool. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Very good. Thanks for the call. Next on the line is Superman Todd. What's new, Superman?
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
Morning, guys. I think Paul Rudd was the guy you were talking
Paul
about.
Paul Rudd. That's it. Yes. He's going to play Mo Berg in a movie that I think is coming out maybe the end of next year, which has the potential to be a really good movie, because I don't know if the listeners out there realize this, but Mo Berg was kind of like a second rate catcher in the 30s and 40s, but he was incredibly smart. Like he could read something. If he looked at a page in the phone book, he'd memorize the whole thing. And in the 30s, he went on a tour of Japan with a bunch of big name baseball players. And he was actually going there on behalf of the U.S. government as a spy to spy on Japan and take pictures of things in Japan at the
Amazing.
Time. Nice. So that has the potential to be a really yep. interesting movie. I can't wait to see how they do it. I hope it's good. I hope they do it right. So what do you have, Superman?
My brother-in-law is actually thinking about selling me. He was in Saudi Arabia during the first war. He's got a box of the Topps Desert Shield he's thinking about selling, and I didn't know price-wise what, you know, something like that might go for before I buy anything.
So you have the unopened box of packs.
Yeah, well, he does. It's an unopened box of packs of the Desert Shield cards.
Right, so each card in there has a Desert Shield stamp on it?
Yes.
Wow, Bill, have you run that box? That's a tough box.
Gosh, I know we've sold the sets recently, and the sets get several $1,000s.
Yeah, ooh.
Don't know when was the last time we had an unopened box. I can't imagine we haven't had one or something in the past, but I don't know when it was or what it went for, but it would certainly be a prime item for the auction, for sure. I don't know what, Todd, what number to tell you to pay for
yeah,
it or something.
I know at the National in 2012, I know Baseball Card Exchange had a couple boxes that flew real quick. I think they were like $5,000.
I was thinking that had to be thousands for that one. And chances are it would be higher than that now. Boy, that would be interesting to see what that would do in an auction.
All right, I appreciate this.
Do it, Superman. Guys. Send it in. We want to see what happens with it.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for the call. Next on the line, we have Al from Chicago. What's new, Al? What do you have?
Hi. I've got a whole load of 1957 Topps baseball cards.
You're my friend now, Al. How good a condition are they?
Pretty good. They've been in a shoebox for years and years and years, and the better ones are in a box at the bank.
Oh, wow. Is Mickey Mantle multiple times in that box?
I've got one that's a combination card, Mickey Mantle and Yogi Berra. There are team cards. There's a Clemente, a Willie Mays, you know, on and on.
Wow, very good. Now, Bill, yeah. can you give Al a little rundown on how condition matters for those cards in 1957 Topps?
Well, yeah, Al, I mean, you know, the condition and the card quality is going to determine how much they're worth.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, your key guys in that set, like Tom was saying, or Mantle, and you said you had Clemente, Brooks Robinson, Sandy Koufax, those guys are pretty big in there. You got rookies of Drysdale and Mazeroski and Rocky Colavito. Those are all big ticket cards.
Okay.
So if they're gradable and you have some that are like fresh out of pack, near mint to mint, or even gem mint, you could make huge money on some of that stuff. If they were handled a lot and they're worn and they're pretty good, they're still going to be good value, but not the huge value. So the key would really just be if they're gradable, if they are gradable.
Yeah, he could bring them by T-Crown, have you take a look at it.
Yeah.
He's probably determined whether or not it's worth sending them to us.
Sure. Yeah, and then I could give you an estimate where, you know, if this guy is this grade, it can do this. So, yeah, it'd be fun to look at, Al.
Okay, all yeah. right. Can I get an address or something? I've also got a couple of little things I cut out of Wheaties boxes.
Like how long ago? Like last week?
No, there's a George Mikan.
Oh, really?
And a golfer named Alice Bauer, whoever she was, I don't know.
So this is back in like the 50s you did this?
Yeah, everything I've got's from the 50s. Yeah, and I've got a bunch of cards that are of cards, Ferraris, Studebakers, concept cards.
Huh. Do you have any Three Stooges cards or anything like that?
No, that I don't. That was mainly sports stuff. I just asked that
so I could play that little cut there, don't you?
It was contrived, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was. Well, you know, if you ever want to bring some of those in, and I'll look at them with you, and it sounds like you might have some great stuff. How great, it just depends on the condition.
Yeah, it's not like they were straight out of the package. They were handled because I was a kid when I did that, yeah. You know, when I collected those things. So
I wrote Good Man on a 1966 Ernie Banks card that I still have on the wall at T-Crown, so a lot of kids our age were not that bright at that time.
Yeah, you didn't know.
Kids are a lot smarter now, I think.
Yeah. You didn't have all that collectible stuff back in those days.
Yeah, right. Are we already at the first break here, Eric, or did something go wrong with the clock? I guess we are. All right, well, it's time for a short break. The number is 312-332-3776. We have a nice prize package to give away, so hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We have a nice prize package this week, a box of 2016 Top Stadium Club Baseball, two autographs per box. They just came out this week. Beautiful photography.
Absolutely,
in this.
Yes.
This is one that is literally worth opening just to look at the cards. The photography is incredible. They have a black and white subset with retired guys. Really some neat. That one Clementi picture, I've never seen that before.
Very nice.
So really neat product. Plus, we're giving away a pack of historic autographs, Friends and Foes Baseball, which has one double booklet cut signature per pack. So it's a really nice prize package. Baseball weekend, a nice baseball prize package. The number's 312-332-3776. And you can also tweet me a picture of an item on Twitter. My Twitter ID is TCrownTom. If we use it on the show, you get in the drawing for that also. Now, I tweeted earlier in the week, this was really neat. It just, if you're a fan of the history of baseball, I found this guy that he just had, just going through Twitter, he had old video clips about 10 minutes from the dead ball area in the early 1900s, including some from the 1919 World Series. That was the Black Sox World Series. If you go to that around the 50-second mark, the third base coach, a guy slides into third, and the third base coach does like a pitch and a dance. You got to see it just
for that part at the 50-second
mark. Actually, I'm glad
mark.
Nobody saw what I just did. Like you were looking at me laughing. But you got to, if you see it, I did it a few days ago. T-Crown Times, my Twitter ID. If you see this thing with a black and white photo, shows this dead ball area video, you got to see this little, but also there was a neat thing in there. Ty Cobb and Honus Wagner were pictured together at the 1909 World Series. Wasn't it Cobb and Wagner that were the two retired players that were Little League coaches together?
Wouldn't that be something?
But apparently they liked each other. Not too many guys liked Ty Cobb, and he didn't like many other players, but I think he had a lot of respect for Honus Wagner. Now, speaking of those two guys, in the Huggins and Scott August auction, There's a Ty Cobb 1909 T206 Piedmont portrait, green background, graded SGC5. And, Bill, it looks like none have been graded better than the SGC5 on that card, correct, with a $750 minimum bid?
Oh, I'm not. Gosh, I would think there'd been a couple graded better.
I would have thought so too, but I wrote that down. I'm pretty sure that was in the description. We'll have to double check that one. And then also, sure.
That's still a tough card.
$1,000
card.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be interesting to see what that does. And then this was kind of neat. You have a Honus Wagner signed 1939 baseball centennial envelope. It has a 3-cent stamp on it and dated June 12th, 1939, the postmark, $500 minimum bid. And then I saw you have a bunch of other ones from that, other Hall of Famers. Like you had a Babe Ruth, a Joe Tinker, Eddie Collins, Walter Johnson, Cy Young. That did one guy bring all those in, I take it, Bill?
Yeah, actually, we stopped and met this gentleman and his wife on our way to, I think it was the Strongsville show in Cleveland this summer, and they had, it was his wife's father's notebook, and they had about 130 of them, I think.
Wow.
All different types of players and stuff. This was gotten in the late 30s, early 40s, and some of the envelopes that are in this thing, some of the first day covers that were put out, I think it was June 12th, 1939, are worth hundreds and hundreds of dollars, just unsigned. And we have a couple of the really tough ones. The one I think Johnny Evers signed, somebody told me, is one of the toughest covers to find anywhere. There's this artwork that was done on it by these famous artists.
Wow, we're going to have to definitely, we'll keep the listeners updated when the auction's going on how it's doing as it goes along and then what some of those things end at. You've got some great stuff going in this August auction, Bill.
Yeah, no, and gosh, I'm meeting a couple guys this morning after the show at the office. They've got some more stuff to get in at the last minute. You know, we have to lie to our consigners about our deadline because they all wait till the end.
Yeah, right. That's right. Now, a lot of that stuff, you're going to be at the National Sport Collectors Convention in Atlantic City the week. Is it right before that auction or while that auction's going on? So people will see a lot of the items on display there, and then they can, if they decide they want to bid on something, they can.
Oh, yeah. That was by design for us. Every year we do that, where the auction begins the Monday before the National, and it runs live and ongoing throughout the whole show, and then it ends the following Thursday. And we have a lot of people who come up and point to something in the case, and they go, how much is that? And, well, it's currently $650. You want to be $700?
Yeah, yeah, like then that. Sign up. Yeah, that's cool.
And Josh is right there ready to sign him up.
You know, if you think of it, if you ask Josh, does Josh run your Twitter, the Huggins and Scott Twitter? If he could take some pictures and tweet them, and then we'll tweet them, and then we can mention that on the show, too, as that goes on. It's a really neat,
I would think he could make that happen. Yeah,
yeah. You have a really neat display there. We have Mike from Oak Lawn on the line. What do you have there, Mike?
So I have a dual autograph out of Elite Signature Basketballs. One side is Kobe Bryant, and the other side is Kevin Durant, numbered to 25.
Numbered to 25. What year was that from?
I want to, off the top of my head, I'm in my car. I want to say about a 2015.
Wow, that's a nice one.
I was wondering what you thought they graded out, and then I'm not graded out what it'd be worth. And then what do you think of the value of Kobe's autos going now that he's retired and going to be going into the Hall of Fame shortly?
Well, I think they're going to just kind of level off. I don't see anything, any reason for them. When he actually does get named to the Hall of Fame, there'll probably be another bump just because he'll be in the public eye. It depends if he does something, what, you know, after his basketball career, what he ends up doing. I think they're pretty much going to level off. I think that card, off the top of my head, I'm thinking $300 to $500. I don't know if there have been any on eBay, but that's a great card. It'll be interesting to see where Durant ends up now.
Yeah, that's the big talk. And then I was going to wonder, now, what do you think about getting the bigger cards? Like, I bought a box of Court Kings from last year, and they do those 5x7 big cards on the top, the box toppers.
Yeah.
I actually do have a Kobe autograph of that on the 5x7.
Yeah, those are cool.
Worth getting graded.
It could be, yeah, without a doubt, if it's really sharp. And
it is.
And I think the whole thing with that, if you have a way to display the oversized stuff, you know, it, then it's great. I think some, the one negative about it, they're bigger, like a typical collector doesn't have the holders or whatever for that. So,
you know. A couple sold on eBay, those box toppers of Kobe signed for about $400, two of them sold.
Wow. Was that the 25 numbered? Or?
Number to 24, actually.
To 24, okay.
Yeah, I just want to, because we're big Kobe collectors, and I have so many of his autos, and I'm slowly getting them graded, and they're coming back pretty decent.
Well, but to me,
the only thing on the Kobe Durant, if you look at the auto, he picked his pen up just a little, and there's a little dot on the hook on the K that comes down.
So
I'm guessing they're going to ding me on the auto.
Yeah, if they grade the card, then let's say the card is a 9 and the auto's a 9, that would be worth less than, you know, if it was a perfect signature. But it's still going to have real good value to it. And I do think long-term Kobe stuff is going to hold solidly, and you know, unless he does something dumb. But because to me, he's the second best two guard of all time behind Jordan. I mean, he's pretty far behind Jordan, but he was great. I mean, he was clutch. He got his ring. So yeah, I think he's a good guy to collect.
Yeah, because they put now, you know, when they get out of the league, they're putting out their own, like, they've got boxes of just the Kobe stuff and that stuff, where he's like the Black Mamba, he's signing stuff like that as well.
Yeah, nice stuff. And he doesn't sign a ton. I mean, he's signed more the last few years, so but I don't think he'll be signing a ton. That has something to do with it also, as far as what he ends up doing. So
you guys have a good 4th of July.
You too. Thanks for the call. We have Bill from St. Charles on the line. What's new, Bill? What do you have?
I have a baseball, and it's signed by two gentlemen. One is Jerry Reinsdorf, and the other is Tom Ricketts.
Hmm. Now, that's kind of neat. How did you get that?
Actually, it was a charity auction.
Really? Huh. Yeah. Well, did you have to pay more than a couple hundred for it?
It was actually just $100 to get kind of like in the auction.
Oh, I see.
That's what I ended up getting. So.
Okay. And is it authenticated, both the signatures?
Yes.
How are they authenticated?
It came in like a box, and then it's got this piece of paper, like authentic, you know, certificate of authentication.
Whoever the certificate's from would be important, like if I was going to sell it in T-Crown, for instance. But to me, the key to that is if the Cubs win the World Series, I would think, because then you have both owners where the two Chicago teams that finally won World Series together on one ball. So if the Cubs win the World Series, if you're ever thinking of selling it, I'd say that's a time to check.
So I got to root for a team I don't like.
Well, if it depends how, that ball, for the value of that ball, sometimes you just have to be a capitalist. What are you going to do, Bill?
Thanks, guys.
All right. Yeah.
Is it a baseball or a basketball that he has?
It was a baseball signed by the two of them.
Oh, baseball.
Okay. Yeah, so.
You could probably build a nice collection around that if the Cubs win the World Series. You can add some pieces and make a nice display for both teams.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. That'd be cool. Yeah. I was originally getting signed cards and signed baseballs from all the 2005 White Sox, and I actually still have a baseball signed by Kenny Williams and Reinsdorf.
Oh.
So I thought that was kind of cool. There can't be a ton of those around, but I'm not a big Kenny Williams fan now, actually. But what are you going to do? Pistol Pat's on the line. What do you have, Pistol?
Hey, Tom. Great show, of course.
Thank you.
I got a couple items. I got a 2006 Bowman original card of Albert Pujols. That's a signed card, a 101 autograph.
Oh, a 101, huh?
Yeah. He did it like blue Sharpie. And it's off the Bowman Heritage card, I think, from 2001. But it says original. It's got it's got the sticker and it's got the stamp.
That Bowman would be original. One. You know, he's not having a great year this year, but his career stats. He's starting to pass guys on the all time home run list. He just had a good game yesterday, I think, with a home run and a few RBIs. So I think, you know, that's one of those things you'd as a one of one. You'd have to auction it, and the right couple of Pujols collectors, that could do very well. Now, yeah. Would that even be something that you might want to do in a Huggins and Scott auction, Bill, a Pujols one-of-one autograph?
I would think so, sure. I mean, the one-of-one, there's only one.
And I think for sure that should pass 500, and it very well, depending on what's going on with the Angels, if he picks it up somehow, he's doing, maybe you wait till he hits his 600th homer or whatever. But I think that very well could pass a grand in value. That's a good long-term one. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's so low energy now, though. Yeah. He had a series in Sox Park against the White Sox earlier this year. I don't think he had a hit in the whole series. And he'd hit a grounder and just jog first. Like, that drives me nuts.
Oh, seems to be his highest value is going to be when he goes into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And when people see his full stats for his career.
Oh, yeah, because they're going to be
higher
huge.
Value time for a
career. Or
if
somehow he picks it up,
if
he gets up to 700 homers, for instance, that would be big.
Maybe
that would
they
be
win
real
the World
big.
Series as well.
Right.
And, more fanfare.
Yeah, that's very true. Steve from Crystal Lake is on the line. What do you have there, Steve? Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I heard the fellow with the 57 cards call in, and then it dawned on me that I have a whole group of 58 baseball cards in sleeves, quite good condition, never rated, and all the big guys, Ernie Banks, locally, of course, to me that was a big guy.
Yeah.
Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, Roger Maris, and the Cleveland Indians. Uniform.
Okay, now we'd ask the same question to you on condition on some of those big name guys like the Mantle and how good a condition?
I would describe it as excellent, but I'm not a card grader. But they haven't been, they're not impacts, but they've been in a protective sleeve for 50 years.
Okay, and so they weren't handled a whole lot before you.
No.
Okay.
No, not much at all.
Boy, and then you also have some 61 basketball cards?
Right. These are really interesting. 61 basketball cards, Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell, Oscar. At least I'm assuming they're 61 because the statistics on the back, the last season was the 1960-61 season. So I'm assuming these are 61, 62 cards.
Well, Bill, what do you think of Steve's collection there?
I think Steve needs to bring that into T-Crown if he's looking to sell that. I mean, the Maris rookie, the Will Chamberlain rookie, a lot of the big rookies from that basketball set, if you can get high grades, Jerry West and stuff like that, those can be home runs, and a lot of those do come in nice condition.
Now, Steve, let's say you brought those into Triple Crown and we look them over and we decide you wanted to send them to Huggins and Scott for, say, their October auction. And what we would do is put a note on that thing to have the guys at Huggins and Scott look them over, and they would get graded any of the cards that look nice enough to get graded where grading helps the value of those cards. So they're the experts on looking those over. They see a ton of vintage cards and would be able to help you with that. If they were really nice and the big names, you'd want to get those graded, and that the sky's the limit then.
And they do the grading?
Well, they'd get them graded either by probably SGC or PSA, and they would talk to you about it on which guys they would recommend they get graded, right, Bill?
Yeah, we would contact Steve as far as once we got the cards back to Maryland, what our game plan would be for sending ones in to get graded and the others selling them as ungraded because it would be the same amount of money either way.
Yeah, so. Right. So definitely something to think about, Steve, if you're thinking of selling them.
Well, I've obviously held them for a long, long time, but I would be interested to see what they're currently worth. Last time I looked at their value was probably the early 2000s.
Well, if you want to bring them into Triple Crown sometime just to get an idea, I could tell you, if some of them look like they're gradable to me and how good a condition, I could help you a little bit with that as far as that goes.
Well,
then you wouldn't even have... If, then you can still decide what you want to do with them, if you want to sell them or not.
That would be great. And just to give your location a little more of a plug, are you in Naperville?
Yeah, Triple Crown in Naperville. TCrownTom.com is the website. I'm by Naperville North High School, corner of 5th and Mill. Thanks for the call, Steve. Mm-hmm. It's time again for another short break. The number's 312-332-3776. We have a really good prize package we're giving away this week. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. The number's 312-332-3776. You can call us with a question if you have an item you think might have some value. We'll try to give you an estimate of what it might sell for in a current auction, or even if it's worth putting in an auction. We have a really good prize package this week, a box of 2016 Top Stadium Club baseball and a pack of historic autographs, Friends and Foes baseball, which has a double-cut signature booklet in it. The Stadium Club baseball just came out this week. There's two autographs per box and great photography. So it's a really good prize package, so give us a call, 312-332-3776. You know, Buddy Ryan passed away this week, which was a sad day, and Pat Summitt on the same day. It was like, whoa. And a guy who got overlooked that had also passed away this week, a former Cub who I always thought was a really good clutch hitter, his name was Jim Hickman. And Bill Huggins, do you know what historic All-Star game play Jim Hickman was involved in off the top of your head? This is a toughie. Okay. And remember when Pete Rose plowed into Ray Fosse at the end of that one All-Star game, scoring the run, I think, to win the game?
Oh, yeah.
Jim Hickman got that hit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he was in at least one All-Star game. Yep. We know that. So that was a big play in All-Star game history.
Yep. Additionally, in pictures of that play, Leo DeRocher was the third base coach. So you see him behind Pete Rose, running over Ray Fosse.
The Cubs were good at that time. They had in 69, I think that was, they might have had their whole infield in the All-Star games. It kind of reminds you of this year. So, yeah, they were good that year. Ray from Chicago's been waiting on the line.
There I am.
Thanks for waiting, Ray. What's up?
I got a 105 rookie card of Xander Bogaerts for Boston, the Red Sox, shortstop.
Yeah, he's good. He's one of the top young shortstops, without a doubt.
He's having a good season, too.
I was looking at it. I bought it for $370, and last time I heard it was up at $2,800.
You know, that might have been somebody asking that much. I don't know of any of Xander. Is this from Bowman Sterling, an autograph number to five, or which product?
No, it's Bowman.
Chrome?
Bowman Chrome. It's the 2014.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a refractor, 1 out of 5. It's a red refractor.
Is it graded gem mint by Beckett or graded
9.5? It's 9.5.
With a 10 autograph. Yeah, that's a big card. I don't know about 2,800, but
no, that's what they were asking. That's what I saw it for.
Yeah, what it actually would sell for. But how long ago did you buy it?
I bought it 2 years ago.
Okay, that was a good buy.
I got every autograph from that set.
Wow.
A lot of refractors. I got a super fractor of Martin Augusta. He's a prospect for San Fran. I got a 1-of-1 Tyler Danish, the pitcher for the Sox. I got a 1-of-1 Abisail Garcia, although he's not doing nothing.
Yeah, he's been kind of a letdown.
But I got a 15-of-15 rookie Chris Bryant of Bowman Inception.
I'll tell you, the Bowman products, when a young player does well, I mean, those are the products to get the first year or the low-numbered rookie autographs. So that Bogaerts is a good young player, and you bought that at a good time. You've definitely made money on that one. I don't know how much.
For sure. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
I got a 1-of-1 of Philip Forsberg, too, for the Predators, and I got a 1-of-10 Tarasenko.
Oh, Tarasenko's a stud. Now, what products are you buying in the hockey? Are you getting, like, from the cup, or what product?
I have, most of them were from Panini Select, which isn't okay. that great of a product. But
yeah, they're not, they don't have their license anymore, but that was right. the rookie year for Tarasenko, the Panini had stuff, so that's
yeah,
good.
It's his rookie card. It's a gold card, and nice. I got a 1-10 Thomas Hurdle too. Tomas Hurdle for you know, they got knocked out too in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's kind of faded. When he first came up, he made an I remember one unbelievable goal, and I thought this guy's going to be a stud. And then he got hurt, and he doesn't seem yeah, like he's right. really been the same since then.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think it's going to be the breakout year this year. A lot of people told me you're a fool for buying that 101 Philip Forsberg card. And they're like, he ain't going to be nothing. I'm like, that's one of the best players in hockey. I go, watch this guy. And sure enough, last year he exploded.
Listen to Ray. He's all over it. Well, you've got some good stuff there, Ray. Now, Bill Huggins, you guys run, I mean, you run a lot of vintage stuff, but you do some higher-end newer young players in your auction also, don't you?
Oh yeah, we've done quite well with some of those hot new shiny cards. They seem to be very, very popular. I mean, it's hard to pick the right time to sell it. You know, everybody would love to pick the top of the heap when they're going to sell these things, but a lot of times when you sell things on the way up, you can make money several times on it all the way up.
You know, Ray, if you're a Cubs fan and with Chris Bryan, and if you think the Cubs are going to win the World Series, well, around the time the World Series ends might be a good time to to run Chris Bryan. So can you imagine how hot Cubs stuff will be if they actually do win the World Series? It will be
Well, you know, I go to
crazy.
Shows all the time, and they're hot. I mean, the Cubs are one of the hottest out there.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
without a doubt.
You know, a lot of cards. Schwarber, Soler's hurt, but he was a good one up until then. I kind of put him in the class with Avi Garcia, where they're just not going to meet the expectations. That's how I feel anyway.
I think Soler might end up being a better power hitter and maybe a better player. We did a comparison on them about a year ago, I remember that.
He's going to have to be a DH, though.
Yeah, maybe. It's possible.
Well, he can't run. He's too big to run. He's got a powerful body. He's an athlete, but he gets hurt because he's so big and he's running. I don't see him, his knees holding up with that frame.
Yeah, so what's
he's like an Andre Dawson, kind of.
What's your pick for the biggest new player, Ray? Like the young guy that you just think this guy's going to be unbelievable.
It's going to be unbelievable. From what, the last draft?
From the last like 3-4 years, some of these guys been collecting. Like, what's your favorite one that I'm glad I got this and I think this guy's going to be unbelievable? Who's your number one
guy? There's no doubt that Xander Bogaerts, that 1/5 refractor, his rookie card.
Yeah, that's a great card.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
He's been underrated with Korea getting a lot of hype, but yeah. Bogaerts, he's having a great year, hitting about 330. If they make the World Series or playoffs, I think more people will like Bogaerts.
Yeah, we were talking about Lindor's another shortstop that's kind of undervalued and underrated. Do you have any Francisco Lindor stuff, Ray?
No, I don't trust that second baseman is going to make that much money on a card.
He's a shortstop. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't think that. I didn't think that he was gonna bring so much. I thought Corey Seager is gonna bring a lot.
Corey
more
Seager
than Lindor.
Looks really good too. Yeah, he's that guy can really hit. But look Ray. You got to check out Lindor, great fielder, and check out his stats. It might surprise you.
Well, he is the best. I think he is the best shortstop. But as far as hitting, yeah, he's doing a little bit now, but. I think that, like, Bogaerts, I would take Bogaerts over him. I would take Corey Seager over him. A lot of people say, well, no, he's the best shortstop. And for hands-wise, I believe he is. But the overall package.
He's a good hitter, Ray. You'll have to check it out.
All those guys are good this
year.
Yeah,
they are.
Know?
You know,
five shortstops.
Actually, they're so young, too. I mean, you don't know if you had to pick one. It's kind of tough. But I wouldn't mind having one of them. Tim Anderson's actually helped the White Sox.
He has.
He's not in the category of those guys, but they got him, their offense has definitely been livelier and moving Eaton to the second spot. Really helped their lineup. Okay, now don't forget the Huggins and Scott August auction. Bidding begins August 1st goes for 10 days. You go to HugginsandScott.com, and you can see a lot of the items already up there, all kinds of stuff. There's going to be a lot of Muhammad Ali items in the August auction. We know for a fact I sent in a Life magazine cover signed by Ali. There's a boxing glove, I think, signed by Ali. What was that item that you picked up, Vince?
Simon Bull artist. I think it's limited edition of Ali.
Yeah, I think that was a one-of-one painting, wasn't it?
Yep, I think so.
Yeah, so...
Beautiful piece.
Any other big-time stuff from Ali that you've picked up recently that you can think of, Bill?
Oh, yeah, gosh, quite a bit of stuff. We just picked up it's about a 4-foot by 5-foot signed Leroy Neiman print. Signed by Ali and Neiman back in the early 80s, the old Ali signature.
That's going to be big when the two of them have... Whenever Neiman did something and both the subject and Neiman signed it, that's big. I think he had a DiMaggio and some of the other guys. That's big. Then there's always lots of old times baseball cards in the Huggins and Scott auctions. I always liked the set. About 20 years ago, I had a really nice set. 1963 Fleer baseball, complete 66-card set. Plus the checklist, all graded PSA 8, which is beautiful for that year, 1963. That had Clemente, Koufax, Mays, Yaz, Drysdale, Gibson, Spahn, Santo was in there from the Cubs. Only a 66-card set, so $1,500 minimum bid on that one. And then one of my favorite sets of all time, the 1961 Topps baseball. There's a complete 587-card set. All of those cards, I think, Bill, every one is PSA 8 graded. It's number 25 on the set registry, a $7,500 minimum bid on that set. The set registry being when cards get graded now, like if you get them all graded through PSA, they keep track of the average grades, and then they rank the sets based on all the different people that have graded those. So some of the guys with the big money collectors want to get the highest up on ranked set that they can get. Bill, $7,500 minimum bid on that. What do you think a 1961 Topps number one ranked set would go for if it ever went to auction?
Yikes. You could add a couple of zeros to that. Yeah,
lots of zeros. It's incredible the money that can go for those highly ranked sets. So that's where if you have really nice condition vintage cards, especially if you have a complete set, might pay to at least get some of them graded, see how you
Absolutely.
Do. If you're getting eights, nines, and some tens, keep getting them graded. So let's see now, Bill Huggins. You also have a 1976 Topps baseball unopened wax box, a 36-pack box. Even that, we know that unopened packs from the 60s and older are really getting valuable, but even 76 now, that's a $1,500 minimum bid.
Yeah, we've had a couple of those. They get around $4,000 to $6,000 generally.
Wow, it's really incredible. So if you have any unopened material from 76 and older where you have the unopened packs, great stuff. Don't open it. Vince, don't open it.
I used to get boxes of Topps baseball, 71, 2, 3, unopened for my birthday, a box every year.
Ooh.
Oh, if I had those cards back.
We would get them a pack at a time. You know, we might go, if we got four packs, you know, we were like sitting pretty, but they were opened as soon as we got them. Yeah, without a doubt. It's already time to do the drawing.
This week's winner is Al from Chicago. So, Al, send me an email with your address and I'll make a delivery to your home or business address free of charge.
And what's the email?
Vince@ercdelivery.com.
Okay, and you have to email Vince by
Thursday
this week in order to get the prize delivered to you. If you don't get to him by Thursday, it's going to go into next week's prize package.
Or get opened by me, but go on.
Yeah, right. No, it'll go into next week, we think.
It will.
There will be a sad face on it, but you will have that. And don't forget to check out HugginsandScott.com, previews of their August auction. I'm at Triple Crown in Naperville all week. Have a great holiday, everybody, and thanks for listening.